You know how much a comedian makes in the Philippines? A chicken and flip-flops.
So I think it's pretty safe to say he makes a lot more than that now, and he's loving it.
I always say this, life is too funny to take seriously.
But make no mistake, the success he experiences, it definitely came with some harsh challenges.
Hey, we hear you're still shooting the special, and my manager's like, yeah, he is. And they were like, we just want you to know we really don't want it.
Wow.
He's one of the most successful comedians of our time, Joe Coy, now.
Right here on The Pulse. I love you, Bill.
Guys, welcome to another episode of The Pulse. He's a comedian, actor, author, yeah, businesses. You're one of those people, Joe Coy on The Pulse. He's got so many titles, you're hard to define. Thanks for coming on.
Aw, thank you, man. Look what I'm going to do for you. Look.
See, that's a good man right there.
I had to do that. Out of respect, I get it. You're a Phillies fan, so let me take off the Dodgers hat.
That's a good man right there. I appreciate
your
that.
House. I'm respecting your house.
Well, I appreciate you coming into the house and spending some time with us out of, I know, is a very busy schedule. We thank you for that.
This is the best part of this beautiful job that we've been gifted from God. You know what I mean? We get to go out and just use our God-given talent to entertain people, and I make a living out of it. So it's like when you come in and do interviews, it's like, that's fun.
I have all this information and research, and we're going to explore and whatnot. But right here on the list, he's been called one of the nicest guys in the business. And you start off by taking off the Dodgers hat, talking about how much you enjoyed this. What's that feel like when in what can be a tough business?
No disrespect. I love everybody that I work with, but it's just like, I don't understand where this turning point is where they're just, it's not fun anymore. This is the easiest job. It truly is. And we decide to make it hard. And I feel that way just in life. I always say this, life is too funny to take seriously.
Right.
So I enjoy smiling. I enjoy just waking up and just having fun. I mean, gosh, man, like I have a great life and I'm living my dream right now. I just, being mad would be something I would choose to do.
We all have our challenges. You know, everybody's not happy going to work every day. But I have those moments where I come in and I'm like, they're actually paying me to do this. You know, and you just embrace it.
And here's another thing, and I hate saying this because sometimes, you know, it comes across the wrong way. If you're not happy with the situation you're in, quit and find something that you love. There's something in your gut. They always say that your gut is your second brain. But honestly, it's your first brain because it's your instinct. It's like it's telling you you don't like it. Trust your gut. We've been hearing that since grandma to great grandma to great great grandma. They say trust your gut. That is a proven fact. I've always been that way, man. I always like challenge myself or at least try and find something that I've always wanted to do and at least try and do it.
So let's backpedal a little bit. You say you've always been that way. But how did you get started in this, in entertainment? Because I've read a whole bunch of stories from you pretending to be MJ dancing and whatnot to your mom inspiring you. Like, what's the true story?
That is the true story right there. My mom made me do all these talent shows that she would put together. Imagine a Filipino woman coming to America and it's like, you're just by yourself. She would literally go to church just to find people that look like her and talk like her. And then they build this small little group of Filipinos, and then next thing you know, they would rent out the nights at Columbus Hall next to the church, and after church, Sunday nights, it would be Filipino night. And they would bring their own food, they would, you know, entertainment, they'd have the kids sing, and, you know, there were no Filipino restaurants, so each family would bring their own dish, and it taught me how to get in front of a crowd. And I was already in love with stand-up, and now I'm in love with entertainment, and all that just came from that nights at Columbus Hall.
So what, like, 12, 13, you're up there doing MJ, you know, lip sync or whatnot.
Good too. So good.
Oh, yeah. I feel like both of us are of a certain age where we could tell those stories, and because there's very little video to back it up one way or the other. Like, I keep telling people, I'm a much better basketball player now than I ever was then because there's no video to prove it one way or the other.
So true. Your memories are in your head only, and it's only you describing what it was that you did in your past. But that's the best part about us, right? It's like we have our memories. That's something that this generation is missing because everything's so tangible and in front of them. And I feel like it ages you faster. You know what I mean? You do mm-hmm. one scroll like this on Instagram and you just went back 2 years. And it weighs heavy on you because you're like, God, look at me. Or God, like, what did I do? Our generation, we had our memories and that's what pushed us forward. We didn't have anything to look back at that brought us down.
I'm again reading your background. 15, you're inspired by Eddie Murphy. That's quite an inspiration at 15 years old.
And you know what's crazy is when I saw him, I was 10, right? So I watched Delirious on HBO. And this is back in the day when no one had cable. So we would get free cable. HBO would introduce free weekends. I would record Whoopi. I would record Eddie. And when I saw Delirious, that's when my mouth dropped. He was speaking a language. And it wasn't until later that I realized that guy was only 21 years old doing that HBO special.
Wow.
And I was 10. So I was relating. I was getting it. It was my kind of humor. People don't understand that. Like, he was only 21. When you watch him on stage, the maturity was just beyond. The confidence was like through the roof. The subject matter was very youthful. That's why kids gravitated towards Eddie so much, because you're like, oh, this is brilliant. It's not until later when he talked about being married and all that stuff, but the Delirious was like, this dude was just out of high school. You know what I mean? He's just out of high school. His college was SNL. Like, he was on Saturday Night Live at 19 years old. Like, people don't realize just the genius of Eddie Murphy. Don't get me wrong, I loved Richard Pryor and all that. You know what I mean? But when I saw Eddie do Delirious, I was like, I need to be that guy. I went to Raw. I was 15 when I went to Raw. I saw it live at the Seattle Coliseum.
That's a really accepting mom letting you go see Eddie Murphy at 15.
She had no idea until she dropped us off. She was like, you're going to a concert?
We've had the pleasure of having quite a few comedians. All have different stories. You know, Michael Blackson was working at Domino's.
This is weird right now.
Why?
And Michael Blackson was in my office. Well, Gemma, when was Michael Blackson here? 2 days ago? 2 days ago.
I don't know, man. Like, this was supposed to happen.
Like, how random that you brought that up, because Michael Blackson, I go way back. Like, you know what I mean? I've known Michael Blackson 26 years. I was on this thing called the Black College Comedy Tour, and I was the only Asian on that thing. I was the only other, because black colleges and the black student body would, they always had to have diversity. They couldn't have an all-black show. So it had to be two black comics and then another. So it had to be either a Mexican or a white or an Asian. That's how it was. And I was the other. So they're like, oh, do you have a white guy? They're like, oh, we got Joe Coy. You have an Asian? Oh, we got Joe Coy.
We got Joe Coy.
And so, yeah, I knew Michael Blackson way back then. Dude, this is crazy. You even brought his name up.
He was telling those same kind of stories about how he got into it. But a lot of those folks that we have had on didn't always have it from, like, childhood. And it sounds like you knew really young that this is what you wanted to do.
When I heard Richard Pryor's tape, that's when I discovered that being funny can also, it was more than just being funny with your friends, that it was a thing, you know what I mean? And then when we got the HBO, that free HBO, that's when I saw Eddie Murphy and I saw physically what they looked like on stage. And I was like, that's when I fell in love with the whole art form.
Did you ever envision, I mean, as a child who wants to do this and you're seeing these folks and now you're talking about the people you've worked with now for, you know, 20 plus years, and I'm doing the research and setting records, you know, selling out places and ticket sales and what have you. Did you ever envision all of this?
It's crazy, man. I live on, when I first moved to LA, I moved, it was called Marina Del Rey, which is right, just on the cusp of LA County. You know, if I did stand up, I would be in the Inglewood area. And you would see the Forum. You know what I mean? But you know, Forum is, you know, that's Showtime. That's, you know, that's Magic's house. You know what I mean? That's where Kobe first started playing. And then fast forward 35 years later, I sell it out twice. You know what I mean? And I'm just like, never did I ever think that I would literally do that.
Just talking to you, your energy is, I've been doing this for this long, but I'm still loving this every day.
I love it. And I pinch myself every time. And I think everyone should. And that's not just in stand-up or any any like entertainment. It's just, I say this on stage. Bill. I say, brag about yourself, because if you're gonna wait for someone to brag for you, you'll be waiting a long time. Compliment yourself, because if you're gonna wait for someone to compliment you, you're gonna be waiting a long time. And all I'm saying is like I'm so happy where I'm at in life, man. Like, dude, like, why am I gonna be waiting for someone else to acknowledge that? Like, this is amazing, and I live a good life, and yeah, and I think everyone should be that way in whatever it is that you do. Why wouldn't I talk about the forum? You know what I mean? Like, it took me 35 years, so right. I'm gonna wait for someone else to bring that up? Hell no, bro. Like, no, dude, that's why I love rappers so much. I love rappers, and the main reason is because of their confidence, man. They speak it.
The name I wasn't gonna drop, but now I'm going to, because he's your friend. Michael Yo was on with us.
And,
and he was talking about, in a lot of ways, it was the same thing. He got tired of waiting for somebody else, you know, to define his destiny, or somebody else to tell him that he was good enough. So he just, I'm going to do it. Like, I'll do it. I'll produce my own shows. I'll go out there and pat myself on the back. I'll start the podcast. Is it kind of the same energy?
1,000%. Like, I'm not going to sit there and wait for you to sign a deal with me. You're not going to sign a deal with me, then I'll shoot it myself. It's just like my first Netflix special. And by the way, this is before Netflix was even making specials. You know what I mean? That was 2015 when they made the announcement. And I was like, ooh, I got to get on this. And they signed all these comics, and then they didn't approach me. And literally I was like, okay, well then I'm gonna shoot it myself. And I shot it, but here, I never told this part of the story too. This is crazy. When I shot it, when we had the camera set up in the theater, we got a phone call from Netflix, and they're like, hey, we hear you're still shooting the special. And my manager's like, yeah, he is. And they were like, we just want you to know, we really don't want it.
Wow.
And that was live from Seattle. So imagine walking on stage already knowing that the person that you're trying to sell it to already said no, but yet you got, you know, all your money invested. And when I say all my money, I don't want to give out a number because I want to let you guys know, but let's just say all of my money.
Right. It would have hurt to lose it.
It would have hurt. And it was funny because backstage, I'm just mad. You know, I'm upset. I got my son sleeping on the couch. You know, I got this theater that sold out, and I'm just like, they already said no, they haven't even seen it. And I just still remember my agent, my manager said, like, just go out there and kill it, let us handle it, man, just give us the best special, that way we can sell it. And that's what happened, man. And literally we shot it, cut it up, and then 6 months later we sent it to Netflix, and we were like, we know you said no, but just look at it. And 30 minutes after they watch it, they're like, don't shop it around, we want it. So that's a perfect example of like compliment yourself. That was in 2015, and I know that's what, 9 years ago. But 9 years ago, technology has changed so much. It's like, I needed that. I needed that push, because there was no outlet. There was no platform that was helping people like me that needed a platform to get my message out there, to get my, who I am out there. Netflix is still king. I love Netflix, don't get me wrong. I just signed another, you know, I signed two more deals with them this year. So I got one dropping in June, and then I have to shoot another one right after June. So I love Netflix. Netflix is a massive business, and they're successful for a reason, because they make the right decisions, right? Yes, they make some wrong, and yes, they make right, but it's a business and it's their money. And it's not up to you to decide where they spend their money. It's up to you to show them that they should spend their money on you and that they should invest on you. So I respect them for saying no, because it pulled something out of me that I never thought I would produce a special. And now here I am producing other people's specials because of that moment. It's catapulted me to do something else now.
You'll be in Philly the 22nd of March, Wells Fargo Center, but you're going all over the place. So tell us about this latest tour.
This is crazy, man. It's an arena tour. And it's even nuts to say that I'm playing Wells Fargo Arena, man. Like, the Answer played there, bro. Like, come on, man. Like, I get to walk in and you know, that court is going to be filled with chairs, and, you know, and I'm going to be, it's still to this day, I'm in awe. Like, you, I do this thing, man. I do this thing where I collect chairs from arenas. Mm-hmm. So, like, you know what I mean? Like, this is Sacramento Kings. Look at this one. That's the Forum.
Okay. How many of these chairs do you have?
I take them, bro. It's history. When I was walking down the Forum Tunnel, you look on the wall and you see the Jackson 5, Marvin Gaye, Diana Ross, AC/DC, Journey.
And you.
And then it says me, and I'm on there 6 times. You know how many? This is history, bro. People sat on this chair to watch the Jackson 5, bro. It's in my office.
I'm picturing some security sitting there talking to their supervisor going, he's taking that chair. Should we call somebody?
I ask the house every time. I'm like, don't give me anything. Just give me one of those chairs. I know you got extras. Let me have one. So Wells Fargo Center, get ready. I'm taking a chair.
Hey, look, you're earning the chair. I think at the very least, you should be able to take a chair. You do a lot of talking about your experiences, your background, your inspiration, a lot about your culture and background during your show. Why? Why is it important that you share those experiences?
I'm so happy you gave me that question. Imagine living here in the 60s and 70s, the height of, you know, when it was blatantly in your face racist on every level. Mm-hmm. Going into a mall, racist. Going watching TV, racist. Watching a cartoon with your kids, racist. You know, looking at depiction of Asian people through animation, racist. You know what I mean? Imagine being an immigrant woman with an accent, living in this country with that type of environment, raising their kids, and having to just laugh at it.
Yeah.
Having to just watch it with their kid, seeing this cartoon portraying an image that's horribly false, extremely offensive, and watching your kid have to laugh at it. And the only selection you can watch on TV is of another family that doesn't look like you, but love it, but don't relate to it.
Right.
Imagine being a Filipino nurse in America, working at a hospital since the 70s. Every hospital I've been to filled with Filipinos. And then you come home and you watch a TV show about a hospital and not one actor or even an extra is Filipino. Almost like you're invisible. Almost like you're not seen. So when people ask me, why do you tell your mom's story like that? I'm not making fun of my mom. I'm telling her story because it's her one chance to actually hear her voice on TV. And she's been living in this country since 1969. And I'm the only reason why she's ever heard her accent beautifully said and make her feel extremely proud to be who she is as a Filipino mom in this country.
You can find Joe Coy all over the internet. Buy the tickets. They are going to sell out. So I encourage you to get them here, Wells Fargo Center, or any of the other places you're watching. The whole theme of the show is the concept of use your voice for good. What does use your voice for good mean to you?
I say use your voice to shine light. A lot of people don't like to share that light, man. And it's sad. We're all here to win, and there's enough mountains. We all have our own personal goals. So you can help other people up. Keep helping them up because there's a lot of mountaintops, man. There's enough for everybody. Everyone can win. All of us can win. And you'll feel better about yourself when you help someone else win.
Guys, thanks so much for listening to the Pulse with Bill Anderson podcast. Today with comedian Joe Coy. Just a good dude. Like, I had never met this guy or spoken to him in any capacity. And then you immediately just start talking. And there are certain people who you just can feel their energy, just positive people telling good stories and looking to help others up. So I appreciate him for that. Do me a favor and hit the like, subscribe, follow, whatever button you have to hit so that you get notifications every time a new episode of The Pulse comes out. And you can also go over both on YouTube, but also now on Fox Local, the streaming app. Download that app, and all of our past episodes are right there at your fingertips. Go back, check them out. I'm sure you will see some pretty cool guests that you may not have seen before. Once again, I thank you so much, and I leave you today, as I always do, reminding you whenever you can to use your voice for good, and have a good one.